speak before you. Amen. I don't take this lightly, but I thank God for this opportunity to speak his word. Souls need to be saved. People need to be delivered. People need to know that we serve a risen Savior. People need to know that. So I'm here to share the good news with you. Amen. You are ready to hear from heaven. See what heaven has to say about it. Amen. I'm still in the book of John. First chapter of John. First chapter of John. And then keep your finger in the 11th chapter. I haven't been released yet from that. I want to take a few verses. When you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen?
Amen.
Amen. I just, one of the reasons why I didn't have the scriptures posted, because sometimes we get too comfortable. Stuff already on the board for us, we get relaxed. And we get too comfortable, so I want to make you a little uncomfortable. You know, when you're uncomfortable, that's when you move. And when you're comfortable, you sit. And you don't want to do anything, you don't want to move. I remember the family said, we're going to clean the store up, but we're going to eat first. We ate, and we said, well, when we going to get up there and clean up the store? I'm going to tell you, we ain't get nothing done that day because we got comfortable and nobody wanted to do anything. So sometimes even the ego makes it uncomfortable for the eaglets. For the babies, and just to get them out of the nest, get them moving. Amen. I'm reading from the King James Version. First chapter of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him, and was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Amen. And also, just in St. John chapter 11, I want to take two verses from St. John chapter 11. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou heareth me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Amen. For the reading of God's word. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. What I want to say to you today, the message that has been given to me, is that the word can restore your God-given situation. If you look at an old antique furniture, an old antique furniture that is ugly after years of dirt and bruises, spills, and breakages. In order for you to restore it, that means you take it back to the original condition. This means you must remove the crud and the bruises, repair the breakages, and polish it. To restore your situation means you take it back to your divinely appointed destiny given to you when you were created. God has great plans for you, as he says in Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. But see, the devil comes to be contrary to God's plan, because the devil comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. So basically what I'm saying is that over the years, your situation has been bruised and dirtied and messed up and broken. But God can restore, and I'm going to show you how he can do that. I know that suffering can develop you as a Christian, but whether the suffering is for your development or not, you need Christ to deliver you from that suffering. When things have not gone your way, you expect in your life that you can use God's word to restore your divinely appointed destiny. You can use God's word to reclaim your destiny. So how does God's word bring life to your dead situation? Well, you have to look. The word as creator is also recreator. Okay, verse 3 says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. This verse teaches that there is nothing that you see that was created by somebody else. Nobody else can take credit for it. Everything you see was created by God and by him alone. The word is the agency of creation. As the creator, the word is also capable of restoring things back to the original creation. That is, in the new covenant, the word serves as the agent of recreation. God recreates what Satan ruined. Therefore, any situation that Satan has ruined, the word can restore it. Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When a car manufacturer finds a defect in a car design, the engineer who designed the part originally is the one who can redesign it successfully. The mechanics at the car dealership cannot do it, even though they can install the new design. The designer is the best redesigner. In the same way, the word created you and your life and destined abundant life for you. Satan, however, came to kill, steal, and destroy situations in your life. The creator, the word, is the only one that can recreate your situation, thereby restoring you to your original God-ordained destiny. You can and must use the word to restore your situation. The word, in other words, gives life to your dead situation, because the word is full of life and life-giving. In the first part of verse 4, we read, in him was life. That is, in the word. If someone is not breathing, you give them mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. The one who has life gives life to life. Y'all follow me? When Adam was created lifeless, God breathed into him and he became a living being. In him was life, means the word is an organism. That is, it is a dynamic living self-expression of God. Since the word is of the same root as God, it is as living and life-giving as God is living and life-giving. And that is why Hebrews 4 and 12 says, for the word of God is living and active. So the word life resuscitates dead situation. There is life in the word. When the word is sent forth into any dead situation, the situation will be resuscitated. The word restores any and all dead situations and brings it back to a living situation. The word has life and cannot exist in a dead situation because it brings life to it. Are y'all following me? In John chapter 11, when Jesus, in verse 38 and verse 43, Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, come to the grave. Listen to what this says. It says, Jesus, therefore, again, groaning to himself. In other words, when Jesus came to the grave, what he saw was an enemy. An enemy means he saw death. Death is an enemy of God. So when it said, Jesus, therefore, again, in other words, he said, I faced this before, and I can defeat it. Jesus is basically saying, again, here is death at the point at the people's threshold. It was a cave and a stone laid upon it. And when thus he had spoken, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. In other words, the word of God restored the dead situation. What basically what I'm saying is that God spoke his word. His word is life. So life came to the dead situation. I'm going to elaborate more on that. An example in the scripture that showed the word bringing life to a dead situation, if you go into the Old Testament, we find in the episode where Ezekiel was taken to the valley of dry bones by the Spirit of God. God asked him to speak the word into this death valley, saying, prophesy to this. You need to prophesy to your situation. Speak a word of God to what you are dealing with and to what you are going through. All you got to do is open up your mouth and prophesy to it. You want to know if you're a prophet, speak to it. You can prophesy to your situation. God is telling Ezekiel, prophesy to these dry bones. When Ezekiel spoke the word of God, the self existing and empowered word went forth into the valley and recreated and resuscitated the dead dry bones into living beings. All right. This happened because the word has life in it, and as verse 3 or whatever the text said is that it basically the word is bringing it back to its original state. Therefore, as the creator, the word can recreate the dead beings into living beings. That is, the word has restorative power. The word can restore any dead situation. You remember in the New Testament, a centurion came to see Jesus to heal his sick servant. The centurion believed in the life-giving and restorative power, so he wanted Jesus to send the word on, in other words, an assignment. All right. He wanted the Lord just to speak a word. I know that you have the authority. I know that you can speak the word. I know that it shall be done. Basically, what he's saying is that, Lord, I need you to send your word on an assignment, on a job, on a duty. But I know that if you speak your word, it will leave from you and go to wherever it is that you spoke to, and it will rise it up. And it will fix my problem, and it will work it out for my good. So he told Jesus, just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, go, and this one comes. And gee, what he was saying is that I know what it is. Means to be in an authority figure. So in other words, he said, send your word on an assignment for me, because I need some help. Yeah. Jesus appreciated him and sent forth the word on an assignment to heal the servant. Yeah. You remember Jairus, just when he thought it was over for his daughter, he met Jesus. You know how the story goes. On his way, he heard the news of his daughter was dead. But notice how he kept walking with Jesus. Even though he heard that his daughter was dead. And by the way, While Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house, there was a woman that stopped him who had an issue with blood. So what I'm saying is that even though Jairus wanted Jesus to come and heal, he stayed with the Lord because the Lord didn't move right then. But what I'm trying to tell you is that the Lord may not move when you want him to move, but I'm trying to tell you to use Jairus' example. He stayed with the Lord even though the Lord didn't move as quickly as he wanted him to move. And again, while he was on his way, a woman with an issue of blood was blessed with the healing because Jesus was passing by. The story goes on to say that when they arrived at Jairus' house, the mourners was already had showed up and began to laugh when Jesus said, "This girl will rise again." But Jesus goes in and takes the girl by the hand and said, "Tell her that come my," which means, "Little girl, get up." The girl moved. The girl rose. So what I'm saying today, is that I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I serve a God who will show up and show out, who can breathe life into a dead situation. When Jesus show up, all things works together for the good according to all that is called to his purpose. When he shows up, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. This is the reason why the lepers cried out with a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Let me tell you something. When you need a breakthrough, when you need a word, a healing from God, I guarantee you, you ain't going to go into no long prayer asking God to do something for you. You're going to do just like the lepers did. "Jesus, have mercy on me." Because you know that all it takes is a word from the Lord to heal your situation, to break down any strongholds that may be in your life. All you got to do is say, "Lord, have mercy on me." You don't need no long prayer. You don't need to impress people with the words that you know how to say, letting people know that you know how to say a prayer. It just means that you just say a long prayer. That's all that means. It just means that you're long-winded. "I need some help now." Say, "Lord, have mercy on me." While they doing all of that, you cry out to God yourself. These men prayed a short prayer and powerful prayer, more powerful than what you did. "Lord, have mercy on me." And when Jesus looked at these men, he did two things. One, he answered their prayer. The other one, he worked it out. What I'm saying is that anybody here that knows the Lord, if you call on him, he'll be right there for you. Sometimes when you're talking to God, it feels like shouting into the wind at a person on the other side of the lake. It takes a whole lot of energy and nothing happens. No matter how hard you yell, the person on the other side just doesn't seem to hear what you're saying. Don't know what you're talking about. So they continue to do what they're doing, and it looks like your request has been denied because they don't hear you. But I'm here to tell you that that's not the Lord. See, let me say this to you. Let me prove this point to you. Most wireless providers would allow you to even encourage you to upgrade a number of things. You can upgrade your phone. You can upgrade your calling plan. Even upgrade a number of accessories. But I know of no wireless provider that would allow you to upgrade your connection. Try going into a company and say, "Look, I want a stronger signal, a wider calling range, at no extra cost, and clearer reception that I can hear a lot better." And honestly, a wireless company will tell you that that is not an upgrade. That is not an option that you can get, not from this company. Most of us seen the TV commercial with a guy for Verizon where he was going around, he was walking around and said, "Can you hear me now?" He tries to go as far away from the tower as he possibly can, and all he's trying to say is still, "Can you hear me now?"
Some of us are crying out to the Lord and you're walking away and you want to know, can the Lord still hear you now? Yes, he can still hear you now. You need to understand something. No matter where you are, no matter how far away you travel, your service is still available and usable. You never are out of range with the Lord. Sometimes we as Christians get to the point where we can't hear the Lord. But we need to understand that God still hears you. This is why I like what Jesus, see, this is why I wanted to want you to understand John chapter 11 and verse 41 and 42. There's a reason why I read this scripture. Because one of the things that Jesus said in verse 41, I'm going to just say what he said. He said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. He said in verse 42, and he said, I know that thou hearest me always. In other words, Jesus is saying the connection is good from where I am. You sent me to make sure the connection was good. He said, I thank you because you hear me always. He said, I know you heard me. In other words, Jesus said about this situation, he said, we talked about this before. We already talked about this problem that they was going to have. We discussed this before. But I like how Jesus got on the phone and he said, Lord, I thank you because you heard me. In other words, the connection is good between us. Just like a technician that comes to your house to try to restore connection. Jesus came down from heaven to restore connection with us. We are still a part of God's family, but we have lost our connection to him. This can be caused by something we have done or something we have omitted to do. But Jesus came to reconnect you just like the prodigal son was reconnected with his father. Some people assume that God is ready to scold them when they come back to him, but God isn't mad at you. He's mad about you. He's crazy about you. He can't stand to see what sin has done to you. So in other words, God is saying, you're the apple of my eye. I'm in love with you. I can't stand to be disconnected from you, so I got to reconnect you to me. God has always wanted us to worship him. But without us listening to him, we have a problem understanding what he is saying. And time again, God is sending his message and asking, can you hear me now? How many times have you, you know, I was waiting on a phone call one day and I was like, man, I had my phone on loud, you know, where the volume was up. So I was waiting on a phone call and, you know, I looked at my phone and, you know, I missed about 3 calls. And I'm paying attention to my phone. At least I thought I was. I'm like, how in the world did I miss these 3 calls? And then, you know, folks, you know, when folks say they call you, sometimes they really didn't call you. But there's folks that really did call you that's trying to tell you that I called you and I was trying to tell you something. So I'm trying to understand, how in the world did I miss these 3 calls? And I was trying to pay attention to the caller that was calling me. Well, let me tell you what happened. We get distracted. We think we're paying attention, but we really are not paying attention to when God is trying to get our attention. So therefore, we have missed. How many of you have missed several phone calls from the Lord who's been trying to get your attention? Even though you think you're paying attention. You think you're in tune to what God is saying, but you somehow miss his phone call. When God has called on you and tried to get your attention, but yet you still seem to see that I missed 3 calls. We get to this point in our life where we think we can hear like we want to hear. But we get distracted and we call on God to do something for us. God said, I've been calling you. I've been trying to tell you. And see, we call God and we ask God to do something for us. So God is here to this morning. What I'm saying is, what do you need the Lord to do for you? Do you need the Lord to heal you? Can you use more money? The truth is, you don't need the Lord to do anything for you. He's already done his part.
Right.
You've already got it, whatever it is.
Right.
You got it.
Right.
This may sound scary to some of you. May even sound crazy. Say, oh, the preacher was doing fine until he got to this point.
Wow.
I was with you up until this point, preacher, but now you're talking crazy now. What do you mean? You might be thinking, but I've got a doctor's report that proves that I'm not healed. Or the pastor hadn't seen my bank account. The other way, he don't know what I don't have in there. But regardless of what the natural facts are, the truth is that God has already given you whatever you need. Everybody in here this morning has a situation. We don't all have the same situation, but nonetheless, we all have a situation. Everybody's situation is not always the same. Your situation may not be as bad as some of the others, but you have a situation. You know what I'm saying? People just try to make you go, oh, that ain't nothing. Yes, it is. It's a situation to them. May not be a situation to you, but it's a situation to them. So regardless of the situation, it's a situation. Your situation may be your marriage, or it may be one of your kids, or it may be somebody at work. It's a situation. It may be your in-laws. I'm just saying. It may be something like that. Or it may be your health. It may be a personal situation, a private battle or an addiction. But it's a situation. The problem is you wake up with it every morning and go to bed with it every night. You need to divorce that situation. You can go somewhere and it'll be there with you. Because that situation is still with you. And when you get home, your situation is waiting for you when you get there. So in other words, it weighs on your mind and it weighs on your heart and it weighs on your spirit. And one day's time, listen to this. Job has gone from prosperity to poverty. From a life of pleasure to a life of pain. From a life of satisfaction to a life of intense sorrow in one day's time. There are times when we find ourselves in tough situations where we may have created for ourselves or by some choices of us doing something foolish. But then there are times like Job where we find ourselves in a situation that defies explanation. If you are struggling with a difficult situation right now, you need to understand your situation may have absolutely nothing to do with something you did or did not do. Like Job, your situation may simply defy any explanation. Watch this, I'm getting to a point. Y'all don't even see it coming. There may be no answer to your situation. There may not be no answer to your why. Living a Christian life does not grant you and me immunity from going through some really tough situation in life. The fact that God gave Satan permission to attack Job's possession demonstrates God's complete confidence in Job's faith. Notice I said God's complete confidence in Job's faith. God knew Job's faith was so real, so genuine, that even if he put him in the most unimaginable situation possible, that it will bring out the very best in Job. You need to look again at your situation right now. The fact that you are in that situation reveals that God has complete confidence that your faith in him will rise to the situation. In other words, God has more faith in you than you have in yourself to do the job. Y'all still ain't hearing me this morning. Every trial, every test, every temptation, every difficult situation we go through in life is a time of preparation. In other words, there's a reason that you're going through this. The whole purpose is to prepare you and me to move to the next level in our walk with Christ.
All right.
Y'all still ain't hear me. Your situation sometimes may not defy explanation. Remember, your situation is in reality a preparation to move you to the next level in your walk with Christ. Your situation is not your final destination. Have y'all ever been on a plane where it takes you, your plane leaves from Florida, but it takes you to Carolina? Okay, but you live in St. Louis. Okay, but it goes to Carolina. Okay, but Carolina is not your final destination. That's just a layover. That's just a stop. In other words, there's another plane that's coming, or there's another flight that's going to take off from where you are. You just got to be ready for the what? Flight. You got to be ready for the flight. Don't get caught with your luggage not being ready. Your situation is not your final destination. Why? Because God is in control of your situation. Your bad and hopeless situation may not have a physical ear, but it does have a spiritual ear. You can speak to it. You have to speak to your situation. In other words, your situation is waiting on you to declare God's word on it. Your situation responds to the orders, and if you fail to give it an order, it will remain as it is. So if you're not talking, it may look like you're crazy, but you're not crazy. You just say, but you got to speak to your situation. You got to tell it what to do. You got to tell it that this is not the way that it's going to happen. This is not the way that it's going to end. This is why Jesus said this sickness is not unto death, because the Lord was looking at it and he said, this is not the final destination. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? He's saying this is not the final destination. This is just only a stop. You're on your way to heaven. This is just a layover. Just somewhere, just an in-between time, in the meantime. So he's saying this, what you need to do, you need to speak to your situation. If you don't speak to your situation, in other words, prophesy to it. If you don't prophesy to it, it's going to stay as it is. Do you want it to stay as it is? Well, then you need to open up your mouth and speak to it. Joseph's brothers sold him out, and they thought it was over, but God didn't say it so. The Shunammite woman had no son and was even content at the thought it was over, but God didn't say it was over. I got one more for you. Sarah was very old and past the age of delivery and thought it was over, but God didn't say that it was over. I got one more for you. Peter the fisherman was washing his net and he didn't catch anything throughout the day and thought it was over, but God didn't say that it was over. I got one more for you. Jairus' daughter was dead and he thought it was over, but God didn't say it was over. I got one more for you. The man at the pool of Bethesda had nobody to throw him in the water as the angel turns it and thought it was over. But God didn't say it was over. I got one more for you. Daniel was thrown in the lion's den and they thought it was over for him. Everyone thought it was over for Daniel. He was in the lion's den, but God didn't say so. I got one more for you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown in the fire, and Nebuchadnezzar thought it was over for them, but God didn't say it was so. I got one more for you. Job's wife told her husband, curse God and die. God is not going to hear you now. Go ahead and curse him. But God didn't say so. I got one more for you. You got a story. story to tell. They thought it was over for you. But God didn't say it so. You may not know what your future holds, but you know who holds your future. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. It ain't over till God says it's over. So what I want you to do, fight one more round. No matter how hard it gets, fight one more round. People may fail you, but God would never fail you. He's a promise keeper. God would be there for you. Even when you're not even there for yourself. Even when you're not even good to yourself. You need to understand that God didn't say it was over for you. All I'm trying to do is tell you, hey, this morning is prophesied to your situation. Speak life into your situation. We serve a God who is a giver of life.
Glory.